You want some bad news, Michael?
No.
What are you asking me?
You're the guru of the gray matter. I figured if anybody had it, you'd have the answer.
I can't give you any direction.
I think I'm going to have to change this channel. I'm sorry.
You're completely wrong.
I refuse to be wrong on two calls in a row.
Tell me I'm spot on or tell me I'm crazy as I'll get out.
I have no idea.
I have a six-month-old, so we'll be raising him according to Dr. Ray.
Talk about being a winner.
So, you want my question?
You ain't making any sense.
You're absolutely right. I just needed confirmation.
So what are you going to do about it, Dawn?
I'm calling you.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
How come they never say the hometown of Dr. Ray? You notice that? I got to talk to that guy. He's supposed to be on my side. He's with Ave. I mean, it's more important, of course, that it is the hometown of Mother, but, I mean, in passing, maybe. I don't even care if he gets the name right. The hometown of Roy Ganuti. Nice to have you with me here on The Doctor Is In. Delighted to be here. This is a call-in program. You are the callers. I am the callee. You are my guests. I get a lot of letters from agents, book promoters, people who say, this is a great person to have on your show for a guest. Might be. Could be. But that's not what we do here. I want to hear from you. Situations in your life that are perplexing and puzzling. I'm not going to do therapy here. I can't do that. I'm not going to diagnose. Certainly not going to step in the turf of any other therapist. But we can educate. Give a few ideas, give a few thoughts, something that might help you out. Got a couple things coming up here. Thursday will be at the Indianapolis Right to Life. I don't know if they have seats open or not, but if you go on my website, it'll give you the contact number of Mark, and you can find out there. And then on Saturday the 27th, Catholic Men's Conference in Waterbury, Connecticut. And again, if you'd like to be part of that, simply go. I know our big boomer station there in Boston, I think it's AM 1060, I believe it is. Huge signal, 50,000 watts. So it's very likely that signal is going to reach all the way into Waterbury, Connecticut. So if you'd like to join us, simply go to my website, and there's the contact number there, and see what you got to do to show up. All right. Well, a little more self-promotion? Sure, what the heck? Good Lord permitting. We're coming to Ave Maria, Ann Arbor. We're going to do four shows, Living Right with Dr. Ray, October 28th and 29th. I know that Ave is putting that up on their website for sign-ups. Now, one limit we have, we didn't have this in some of the other places we've gone, but the studio only can hold about 55 people for the audience. If we get that, that's great. If not, still got extra seats. I don't know. But if you'd like to be part of the audience for Living Right with Dr. Ray Season 15, we're taping for 15, go to AveMariaRadio.net, and then they said something like the slider. Andrew, what's the slider? What does that mean? I don't know if he's listening to me. He might be call screaming. What's the slider? I think he went to the bathroom. Anyway, that's what you got to do, and then you can sign up for one, two, three, or four shows. Feed you in between the shows, and the audience makes the show. The audience is critical. So that's October 28th, 29th. Shows are 5:30 and 7:15. I'm sorry. That's two words. But they seem to get stuck in a lot of throats. Why? What is it about I'm sorry that is so hard to say? Now, I'm not talking confession. I'm not talking to our Lord. I'm talking about to other people, to say I'm sorry to other people. Now, many of you are saying, no, I don't have any trouble with that. I don't. I can say I'm sorry. Matter of fact, I think I say I'm sorry too much. Okay. But you have to wonder what it is about people in your life that you know that struggle with saying I'm sorry. Maybe you don't. But they do, and that frustrates you. What is it about I'm sorry that can be so tough? I think there's a lot of factors. It depends on the meaning you put to an I'm sorry. Do you stretch it? Do you stretch it beyond its actual meaning? See, the actual meaning of I'm sorry is, at that time and place, with you, I believe I acted wrongly. That's pretty straightforward. If you put any more meaning to it, it becomes harder and harder to say the broader your meaning you put. For example, if I'm sorry means I'm a loser. If it means just another example of how deficient I am, just another example of how I fall short, then in fact it becomes much harder to say. If you think I already apologize far more than my share, best I could figure out, the ratio in this relationship is about 5-1. So if I keep saying I'm sorry, I'm just going to raise it up to 6 or 7-1. What good is that? That doesn't do any good. That just convinces the other person that they're never wrong and I'm wrong most of the time. That's an interpretation. But that doesn't negate the fact that you could have been wrong anyway. You only apologize legitimately. Another reason why people don't apologize, and this is a big one. This is a big one. I don't think I did anything wrong. We tend to be very kind to ourselves. By definition, we're subjective. So therefore, what somebody else might think we did hurtful or inappropriate or wrongheaded or stubborn or whatever number of adjectives you want to put on it that are pejorative, we don't. So I'm not going to apologize for something I don't think I did wrong. Well, the question becomes, are you open enough to think it through and recognize you could have been wrong? Politicians are good at that. Well, if I said anything to offend anyone, I'm sorry. It's the old if. You know, if you got upset over something I said, I apologize for your sensitivity. But that is a reason. That is a big reason. Now, be careful when you say, well, I'm sorry you took it that way. Oh, that's rough. If you get an email, if I get an email and somebody says, you said this, this, and this, and this. I couldn't believe you said that. And if I write back and say, well, I'm really sorry you heard it that way. Well, I'm not really sorry you heard it that way. I might say something like, that was not the way I intended it. That was not what I meant to say. Not really sorry you took it that way. That's your business. You can take it any way you want. Can't apologize for you on that. But that's a big one. And I think that keeps a lot of people from apologizing. Another one is nervousness. How is my apology going to be received? Is it going to be thrown back in my face? I tell people that all the time. You want to cut back on the amount of apologies you get from someone, be it your spouse, be it your parent, be it your adult child. You want to cut back on apologies, you want to make it so that you're going to get very few of them, if at all. Throw it back at them. Say things like, sorry doesn't make everything right. Are you sorry because you got caught? If you were really sorry, you'd make some changes. That's a rough one. Because somebody can truly be sorry, they can regret their behavior, they can be remorseful, but still weak the next time around. Their emotions get the best of them. How'd you like to go to confession to a priest that you've gone to a lot, and he's heard you say the same things? What if he said, are you really sorry? I mean, come on. If you were really sorry, you'd stop doing some of this stuff, or you at least cut back on it. I'm having a hard time believing you're sorry. You don't want to hear that, do you? But yet, you've said the same things. If you're like me, you've said the same things over and over and over and over and over. And I'm sure hoping God doesn't say that to me. You know, Ray, you've been coming to me apologizing for your sins. I'd think by now, given your age, you wouldn't have any left. Well, unfortunately. So I sure hope God doesn't use that standard response with me that I'm tempted to use with somebody else. If you were really sorry, you'd change. See, we use changing conduct as a sign of the genuineness of the apology. The two necessarily aren't tightly related. You can regret what you did. I got a lot of stuff that I'm sorry for in my life. But that don't mean I did it just once. Situation presents itself. Passions get a hold of you. Emotions get a hold of you. You say things you shouldn't say and you realize it. That happens. I'm sorry. That is something that parents make kids say. And the shrink types don't like that. They say, that's forcing it. You can't force remorse. A little bit of rhyme there. But the habit of saying I'm sorry gets it past the kid's lips. So just maybe it doesn't sound so terrible in his head. My kids used to apologize to the carpet. Tell your brother you're sorry that you did that.
I'm sorry.
Apologizing to the carpet. Or you can't hear it.
Sorry.
Not even I'm sorry. Just
sorry.
It's kind of a one-syllable word. Sorry is two syllables, but when it comes out of a little kid's mouth who doesn't want to say sorry, it's a one-syllable word. Tell him you're sorry.
Sorry.
It's practically spit out, isn't it? All right, let's we can talk about sorries a little bit more, but I want to get to your calls, 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL. That is the number to call to get on to the program. I would be delighted to hear from you. Give me a buzz.
Another year has come and gone, and whether you like it or not, Uncle Sam requires you to make an accounting.
Perhaps it's time to call Myler and Zipka. They work with you to legally minimize your tax bill and identify ways to reduce future taxes. Eliminate the nagging feeling that you're paying more taxes than you need to. Call Ken Zipka today at 734-930-5500. Myler and Zipka, integrity, excellent value, and people dedicated to a long-term relationship. 734-930-5500.
Looking for a trusted contractor for your exterior home improvements? Call locally owned Mighty Dog Roofing today for a quote on roofing, gutters, siding, or windows. Mighty Dog Roofing uses premium products including Owens Corning Shingles and James Hardy Fiber Cement Siding, and they offer one of the best warranties in the industry through their OC Platinum Preferred status. Visit MightyDogRoofing.com today or call 833-MIGHTY-4. That's 833-MIGHTY-4.
Underwritten in part by this not-for-profit.
Hi, this is Mike Ditka.
Hey, this is Brian May.
Hi, I'm Chris Farley. You're listening to the Kevin Matthews Show.
I thought he was insane. A lot of people thought he was insane.
Nobody could touch us. We had 10 million people listening to us a week.
But that was my past. If you would have told me I'd be carrying around a broken statue of the Virgin Mary, talking about God, I'd say, are you high?
Broken Mary, the Kevin Matthews story. In theaters one day only on Tuesday, October 7th. Tickets at BrokenMaryFilm.com.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
How are you, Timothy?
I'm just fine, Doctor.
Are you?
Well, no.
That is the number to call. 877-57-EQUAL. I would be delighted to hear from your situation regarding a child, your own circumstances, someone you find difficult in your life. You know, I'm pretty much 99.99999% loving.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I got no ill will toward anybody in China, India, Europe, virtually all of Africa, South America. It's just the folks in close that you have to work on, right? So somebody like that in your life, you want to figure out how to better get along with them? 877-57-EQUAL. Just give you a few ideas, a few thoughts, perhaps, that you could implement in your situation. I've heard a lot of experts say things like, you don't force a kid to apologize. It does no good. It has to be internal. It has to come from inside. It has to mean something. Well, here's the question I would have. What little kid, what five-year-old is going to instinctively say, I'm sorry? Grown-ups don't like those words. So you expect a five-year-old kid to realize that that's appropriate and good to say? How can that be? So if you say, well, I'll wait until he matures, I'll wait until he gets older. If you don't ever, ever say, I'm sorry, when will you hit a point where you think to yourself, you know, I've noticed for the last, oh, say 9 years of my life, I haven't said sorry. Ever since birth, I haven't said sorry. You know, I might start doing that now. I just think that's I've grown up enough now to realize that's a good thing to do. No, that's not likely to happen. You don't do it, it's not a habit. You don't do it, it sounds foreign. It's a foreign language. I'm sorry. I've never had to say I'm sorry. I've never had to experience someone's reaction to me saying I'm sorry. Particularly their positive reaction, like I forgive you, or thank you, or something that reinforces the fact that I said I'm sorry. You don't do that. You never form the habit. There's so much of that philosophy in modern child-rearing enlightenment. You don't make a kid do something he doesn't want to do. Because if you do that, you gain nothing. You are simply parenting by force. How will he internalize it? I've even gotten calls like that here on this radio program. Lady called in. She said, well, what about internalizing? Don't you want the child to internalize it? I go, yeah, of course I do. That's the goal, is to internalize it. But what five-year-old is going to internalize easily and in a broad spectrum good behavior? Oh, you may have some five-year-olds that by their temperament are not particularly unruly or not particularly pushy, not particularly defined. Yeah, you can get kids like that. But when is the last time you had to say to your three-year-old, now remember, don't share your toys. I'm reminding you, because you know sometimes you just like to share your toys with everybody. Now there may be, there are kids there that do that. I read one. It was in Nova Scotia, I think, where he was, and they're studying him in a rare phenomenon. But in fact, that kind of stuff is not natural. And one of the great differences between the experts and Christian worldview is that we recognize we come into the world self-centered. We recognize that we can be selfish, self-absorbed. We want what we want. We know that's the fallen condition of the human. That's why so many of the enlightened psychological theories on how to get children to cooperate don't work very well, because their premise is kids naturally want to do what is good and right. I've seen a lot of people who thought that until they had a kid. Then it's like, well, wait, he's not behaving like the book said he's supposed to behave. When I get down and I get right on his level, and I talk with him, and I give him choices, and I tell him how appropriate it would be to have a certain choice. He didn't go, "Oh, thank you, Mother." He looked at me like, "Be quiet. I want to do what I want." Oh, I got a weird kid. That's another thing. That's a monologue for a future day, which is, if in fact my kid doesn't respond like the enlightened theories say he's supposed to respond, then he must be strong-willed, or he must be difficult, or he must be aberrant. Why is he doing this? See, if you start out with the wrong philosophy, you're going to try things that don't work. And if they don't work, you're going to think something's wrong with my kid, as opposed to something's wrong with the philosophy. So, yes, we make kids say, "I'm sorry." We make them say, "Thank you." And we make them say, "Excuse me." We make them do this because it isn't natural to them. Hey, look, if we... forgive me, that was dumb. I do not like starting out a sentence with, "Hey, look," or "Listen," because it's commanding and it makes it sound like I'm ordering you to pay attention to this. Have you ever noticed how often people will do that, especially when they're being interviewed? "Well, look." It's a commanding word. It's like, "I've got something to say. You better attend to it." So forgive me for that one. See, I'm sorry. We expect kids to naturally absorb what we're trying to teach them, so we get frustrated when it doesn't happen as quickly as we think it should. Where is the problem? It's easy to think the problem lies with the child. More parents say to me, "He just doesn't listen." What they're saying is, "I'm trying to give him instruction. I'm trying to give him conditions. I'm trying to give him rules and guidelines. I'm trying to control some of his impulses, and he's blowing right through it." Well, sure. When a parent tells me he just doesn't listen, the implication, the unspoken words are, something's different about this kid. Because kids are supposed to listen, aren't they? But if you recognize that by their nature they don't listen if it's not in their best interest and you have to make it happen, then you're okay. "I'm sorry" is a good thing for anybody to say, even a little kid. The good thing about a little kid is you can make it happen. You can't make it happen with a grown-up. But with a little kid, you can. My son one time, and he was about 3 years old, 4 years old, he was running around and he spit right into my uncle's face. So I immediately sat him on the chair and I said, "Andrew, when I tell you you can get up, you're going to apologize to Uncle Rich." So he got up. He wouldn't apologize. He just wouldn't apologize. So, "Andrew, you're back on the chair." We left, got home. I told him, I said, "Andrew, you're not going to get to play with any of your toys until you apologize to Uncle Rich, and I'll call him." So he said, "Okay, Dad, call him." Okay. So we called him. You know, little kids on the phone, they're terrible on the phone. They don't say anything. Even the good stuff they don't say. Say hi. Hi. He still didn't apologize. It took like 2 calls before he finally would apologize, finally got off the chair, and finally got his toys. He's a very apologetic boy these days. positive, nurture, and post-zero guy, my own personal Y2 Ray. Remember that scare? Oh, my. I had a brother-in-law who's very computer savvy. And at the time, everybody was panicking all the way up to Y2K. And he said, it's not going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. I said, how do you know that? All these supposed experts are saying, look out! Banking is going to collapse, all kinds of reverberations throughout the culture and the financial world and everything else. It's not going to happen. Computers aren't going to do that. I don't know what he based it on, but he turned out being right. Roseanne from North Carolina. Hi, Roseanne.
Hi, Dr. Ray.
Thank you for calling, dear.
How's it going?
Well, yeah. nothing gaining on me.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. So, you know, you're my my paisano. So
yeah.
Glad to hear it. Yeah.
Are you 100%, Roseanne?
Yes. Well, sort of half Sicilian.
Oh, my grandmother didn't consider Sicilians Italian. You know that.
I know. That's why. That's why I'm saying that.
I do. I consider you Italian.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right.
What you got going on?
Well, it's my son. He's got some really weird ideas, and he says some very unkind things. And yet when I visit him, he treats me like a queen. And it's so weird. I just don't understand.
How do you know he's got weird ideas?
He won't visit me. Well, he won't visit me, period. And his rationale for that... I used to live within driving distance of him. It was like 4 hours. And so he used to drive to see me at Christmas and maybe one other time during the year. Now I moved far away. And when I did that and invited him to come and visit, he said, oh no, we don't do that. We don't visit parents.
Hmm.
And he hadn't visited his father. We're divorced. He hadn't visited his father in years.
Well, when he says we don't visit parents, does that mean that he doesn't visit his in-laws either?
No, he visits them because they live in the same city as he does. So he visits them, but he won't travel to visit parents.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And then he says vacations need to be restorative because we work so hard. And visiting parents isn't restorative. So they go on these expensive vacations.
You ain't restorative, Roseanne. What's wrong with you?
I know. I'm an Italian mother. Isn't
Man.
That a disgrace? Yeah. Yeah. So
you,
think
those are the reasons?
I don't know what the reasons are. That's why I'm calling you.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on a second. How old is your son?
55.
Your son is 55. You've known him for 55 years. And
yep.
You're asking me what his reasons are? A guy who doesn't know him at all. You've known him for 55 years. You're saying, yeah, I just figured I'd ask you what his reasons are.
Well, I'll tell you what I think.
That's better.
Somehow or other, and it's probably my fault, he's very self-centered. And he just won't go out of his way. But on the other hand, he makes me the most wonderful gifts out of metal. He works with metal. And he makes me beautiful things, and he sends them to me. And when I visit him, he treats me like a queen. But he won't get on a plane and visit me, even if I pay for the airfare.
Well, you think it's easy for him to be nice to you when you're there, because he has no particular resentments. But to see you would take a little too much effort, and I'm just not into putting that much effort into it, Mom.
Yeah. He just, listen to this. You got to listen to this. When I turned 70, we had a wonderful celebration, and we all went to Sicily. And my other two kids, my daughters, arranged it. He didn't do anything to arrange it, but he went because I paid for their airfare. That's the only reason he could go, because he can't afford it otherwise. He said lately when my daughters told them they were going to do an 80th birthday party for me when I turn 80 next year. And he said, we already did that party at her 70th.
Yeah, you already got one. Come on.
Exactly. He won't come. He won't come.
Okay, you want my suggestion? I got a suggestion for you. Quit trying to figure him out.
Okay.
A couple of reasons. One, he apparently has never told you. I mean, he comes up with supposed reasons, but you don't buy them. And
no.
So he's covering. Okay, that's one. Two, he may not be consistent here, Roseanne. On one hand, I really love my mom around as long as under certain conditions. We go outside those conditions, and too much effort, ain't doing it. So he's inconsistent, at least as you see it.
Yeah.
So at this point, I would not try to figure him out. The one thing one thing you could do is to ask him, flat out, ask him, is there anything I've done that makes you ill at ease around me, that it makes you not want to come and visit? Is there anything? And I got a feeling what he'll say. No, nothing, no. It's just a lot of effort, and we're busy, and I work hard, and to travel is not something I really want to do. I mean, have you heard that one before?
No, I haven't asked him that. And so he's never said it's too much trouble to travel. He just makes these blanket statements like, we don't visit parents that we have to travel to see. Just blanket, ridiculous statements like that.
Well, it sounds like he's underneath it saying it's too much trouble.
Yeah.
Okay. But here's what I'm hearing from you. That you're beating yourself up. It's like, what's wrong with me? What is wrong with me that my son won't put effort in, even if I say I'm going to pay for it? That's what you're saying.
Exactly.
I know it, sweetheart. That's what you're saying. Well, he's 55 years old. I got a feeling it ain't you. I got a feeling it's just who he is regarding all of this. And perhaps he views it as, when something is outside of anything I want to do, I'm not going to do it. I've had people like that in my life, which is I ask them to do something that would be a really good thing to do for somebody else, and they go, no. They just go, no. Don't want to. That's it. That's the only reason they give me. They give me no explanation, just flat out, no.
Okay. Can I ask you one more thing about this, please?
You better hurry. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll let you ask me on the other side, because in about 10 seconds, the music's going to start. All right?
Okay.
So stay right there.
Okay, I will.
And I personally will come to see you after the break. That's what I'll do. That's not. I don't normally visit callers after the break, but if you pay for it, I'll do it. This is Dr. Ray, 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get onto the program. Love to hear from you. You folks make the show. Give me a call, please. Even if it's just a comment on something. Sometimes the comments are so very enlightening, far more than anything I would say. Then I would steal them and put them in books and make a lot of money. Thank you. Very nice to have you with me here, my psychological Babylon. Or maybe that's two words, babble on. I'm talking to Roseanne, nice lady from North Carolina. Got a 55-year-old son who's pretty much decided I'll treat mom really good when she comes here. I like her and make nice things for her. And as Roseanne says, treats me like a queen, but there ain't no way he's gone to visit, even if she pays. And she's been torturing herself. Well, let's see, the son is 55 years old, so I got a feeling Roseanne has been torturing herself much of his adult life. Hopefully we can get her to stop doing that and to stop trying to figure out why he's doing it, unless she asks him, and then we'll see what he says. But Roseanne says, all right, Roy Gnudi, I got another question for you. Go ahead, Roseanne, shoot.
Yeah. Okay. So my two daughters are very, very good to me. They go out of their way to help me. You know, I have some mobility issues. I mean, they're just wonderful. They take such good care of me. And he does nothing, okay?
Wait a minute.
He won't even come.
Two out of three, in the words of the Meatloaf song, two out of three ain't bad.
True, true. But I think that I should, in my will, not divide my estate evenly. I think my daughters should get more. And I was wondering if you think that's mean.
Well, my dear, I can't tell you what to do with your estate. I know it's not unusual for parents who say, I have certain children who are much more involved in my life, much kinder to me, much less neglectful. In extreme cases, they have kids who have just refused to see him for 10 years. Okay.
Yeah.
It's not that clear cut with your son, but yet at the same time, your daughters are much more open to having a nice relationship, respectful relationship with their mom. Now, you can do anything you want, and you're not going to be around to see his anger. So the question becomes, for most parents in your situation, what will happen if I did that? How would he treat his sisters?
Well, that's easy. He has no relationship with either one of them now.
Oh, boy. Well, you waited till the last minute of the call to tell me that one. Because what you're saying is instead that this kid isn't this man isn't necessarily pushing me to the corner of his life, but he has no relations with his sisters either.
True.
Oh, my gosh. All right, so I can't even speculate on the dynamics involved in all that. However, it would seem to me that you have every right to do what you wish with your inheritance. Of course you do. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, for example, with my children, a certain amount is going to the children, but most of it's gone to charity. And some of our more aware kids know that. They already know that's happening, you know.
Yeah, I'm doing that too. So, yeah.
All righty, my dear. Well, happy 80th birthday when it comes up, huh?
Thank you.
Okay, hon.
Thank you so much.
Bye. I had a mom just ask me recently, very recently. She said, was it an adult daughter? I think it was. Who's pretty much severed all contact. I don't want anything to do with you. And again, I don't know the dynamics there. I can't speculate on that. I can't. I've got an email where people have said, wait a minute, it's not always us young adults that do this. Sometimes our parents are very, very difficult. Okay, I got that. I'm not denying that. But if the parent says, at least in their best judgment, that they haven't been an abusive or pathological or nasty parent, and in fact they've been human, and this particular adult, and a lot of times it's not a young adult anymore, a lot of times it's 44 years old, and they haven't had any contact with their parent for 15 years, and the parent has said, I've tried to have contact with them. They won't return my calls. They won't respond. They've just pretty much made me a non-entity. And I'm thinking of simply writing them out of the will. Very much your decision. Of course, if somebody's saying, I want no part of you, are you going to turn around and say, okay, here's 80 grand? I don't know where this sense of I owe you something, if in essence you have mistreated me for the last 12 years or written me out of your life. Now, my mom used to have her will on a dry erase board in the kitchen. So, you know, we came over and I said something like, gee, Mom, is this soup isn't all that good. She didn't say nothing. She just went over to the dry erase board and just kind of erased my name off. I had to get it back on there. You know, took a while. All right, come on. It's not true. Don't send me an email. It's like, I can't believe your mother would do that. I can't believe that you would even talk about your mother doing that. She didn't do that. 877-573-7825. Got one more time, one more segment. It's been very quiet on the phones today, which is usually not the way it is. I don't know if it has anything to do with the weather or what, but you can get a last call in this last segment, 877-57-EQUAL, Dr. Ray.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Did you know you have divine glory living within you? If you are a baptized Christian, you are host to a gentle guest, says the Catholic Catechism. This guest inspires, guides, corrects, and strengthens us to live our life in Christ. That gentle friend is the Spirit of Christ, the third person of the Blessed Trinity, the Holy Spirit. He is active in us, transforming us spiritually if we are willing, so that we may live as children of the light. There are two ways to live. The first way, the way of Christ, leads to life. The opposite way leads to death, an eternity without God. Choose life, then. Choose Christ, a life of challenge and joy. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
This program brought to you in part by Ave Maria Florida, a big kind of small town, where golf carts take you everywhere and there's always something fun around the corner. Discover championship golf, resort-style amenities, and a town center full of shopping and dining. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at its heart, it's a community full of connection and charm. More than 25 model homes are available for viewing. More information can be found at AveMaria.com. That's AveMaria.com.
You people are something else. It has been incredibly quiet this whole program. And I mentioned that we got one last segment here. Call in. And Andrew just told me every single line lit up. Steve from Spokane, Washington. Hello, Steve.
Hi, Dr. Ray.
You jumped in before the other seven. Go ahead.
That's right. Hey, so my daughter's been married for 2 years now, just a little over 2 years. And he was 36 and she's 31. He has become extremely verbally abusive, insultingly abusive, demeaning, that sort of thing directed at her. He's never wrong, and she says that he fits the full-fledged narcissist in every single way. He uses the Bible verse, the Bible paragraph, whatever, Ephesians 5, you know, wives be subject to husbands, and beats her over the head with it. He'll argue with her for 3 to 4 hours before he shuts up. Now he has started pushing and shoving. The latest episode is he slapped her. She did get mad at him, and she called him a name, and so he slapped her real hard, and she had told him, if you ever hit me, we're done. So she came home a couple hours away, and he writes these great big long texts explaining everything. I've tried to talk to him about it, and you cannot get through to this guy. Now, he said he's going to divorce her. He hasn't followed through with it yet. This has only been about 5 days. She said she's done, but now she's kind of wavering. Now, my wife and I are wondering, we don't want to back with him, but do you think this behavior will ever stop?
Now, Stephen, I can't predict that. I think it really does come down to what your wife, or I'm sorry, what your daughter wants to do. She's got to decide on this. You and your wife, I don't know how much. Here's one difficulty you run into. Let's say, for example, that you immerse yourself in this, and then somehow, some way, they reconcile. Now he's got a view of you as, oh, okay, so that's what you think of me, huh? All right. So you will have damaged that relationship if it gets better. All right. So that's what I'd say about that. At this point, you've probably talked to your daughter a lot, right? Because you know all this stuff, right? My question would be, how do you know how do you know this? And apparently, she's told you, right?
Yes, she did. And like I said, I've had a conversation with him on the phone through texting, and you just have to stop. There's no getting through to this guy. You can't. He's not ever wrong. He'll twist and turn it, twist and turn it.
Well, then you can't
now,
fight with him. You can't argue with him.
We never told her to divorce.
You can't fight with him. You're gonna have to just pull out of it.
I told her. My wife has never told her that she needs to divorce him. She said that's up to you. But now the latest incident with him striking her, I was afraid it would become physically abusive, and now it has. And he's had 2 years to recommend, you know, to stop this kind of stuff. And I'm just afraid that it's just gonna get
worse.
You
can ask your daughter. What are you gonna do if it happens again?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Apparently she's decided. Well, okay, I'm not gonna do anything right now. But if it happens again, you know, what is her communication to him? What is the understanding on all this?
His understanding that if he's totally in charge and she better be subject to him, because that's what the Bible says.
She had to see some of this while she was dating him, didn't she?
Only one instance, and we did recommend some, but we are finding out from his family that there's been some past history.
Oh boy.
After the marriage. Yep. And we're wondering, we're asking, why didn't you tell us before?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we think there's some possible abuse from on his side, you know, from family members or something like that. So I guess I know you can't answer my question. I guess I wondered if you thought once physical abuse begins, does that continue? I mean, my son's a sheriff's deputy, and he says I see these women in here, and then they'll go back to him, and it'll start all over again. Then they come to the court again. The women won't press charges. Then they go home, and it starts all over again.
That's not an unusual trajectory, although it's not 100%. I think a lot of it is going to come down to. It sounds like there's a lot more going on in this marriage that's ugly. On top of it, so
yeah.
It seems like your daughter is saying she's getting close to saying I've had enough. But at this point, just be careful about immersing yourself in the middle of this. That's the one thing you got to watch out.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we are afraid of that. Yeah. Waited a long time for supposedly a good Catholic man, and yeah.
How long did they date?
Almost a year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, there was one incident he used the Ephesians 5 at her before she was married, and then of course he says, oh yeah, no, this is all the way it is. This is, you know, kind of denies the whole thing and makes it sound different than it is. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, I know you can't answer the question totally, but my biggest question was if you thought the physical abuse would continue or increase.
I can't know that, Steve. You know, it's like anything else. I could probably make a better prediction of it if they were clients of mine, and we looked into the history, and we looked into the dynamic of the marriage, we looked into the provocation of the hitting, we looked into all of that. But at this point, to simply say a hard and fast uniform rule that if you've ever had one incident of physical contact, that's it, it will never, ever change, you can't say that.
He refuses to go to counseling, too.
That's no surprise.
Pretty common, yeah.
Okay, my friend. Be careful. This sounds like a very explosive situation. Okie doke.
Right.
God bless, friend. All right, so we lost all those calls because they knew they couldn't get on. So I will say this to you: we're gonna do a little alteration here of our previous commitment, which is, if you were on the line at the end of the program and you didn't get there, you're first up in any future program. So now we're gonna say, if you were on the line at the end of the program, but you realized you weren't gonna get on because we got about 20 seconds left. Okay, that counts. You can call back in the future. You'll be first up. Thanks, Andrew Krucek, and I thank all of you. Again, I'd love to see you in Ann Arbor, October 28th, 29th. Wrestle video. Go to AveMariaRadio.net for details if you want to be part of Living Right with Dr. A in the studio audience. Love to have you. Walk with God.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.